Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Sarah Silverman has just entered the studio after making either a number one or the world's fastest number two. I'd like to think number two.
It was the latter.
Yeah. It was shaped like what?
Biscuit.
Little ladder Duke humor there that Drew didn't catch on
I
to.
I do.
Sarah Silverman, a delight. A treat for the eyes,
ow!
The nose, the mouth for some lucky men. Sarah's in School of Rock, which is out as we speak. And, you know, as a comedian, whenever a comedy comes out, I always hope it fails horribly.
Well, first of all, you hate it. You always tell me you hate it.
I like to hate
it. And then
it.
You hope it fails, yeah.
Well, I don't so much hope it fails as I hope it's bad. And then it does well, and then I can complain about what's wrong with the system.
There's except just like, in this case.
You know, you hate Dr. Phil?
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I am with
right.
comedy.
That's right. That's how you are.
But not in this case. I've heard nothing but great things about this movie. I've not seen it. I've talked to several of my snobby friends. They've said
they also
it's
like it.
Spectacular.
Really? Wow.
Nothing but raves. And a rare, I don't know, oftentimes mainstream and universal appeal and critical success and all that kind of stuff.
It rarely
ends up in the same pinata.
Yeah.
But not this time. What do you have to say to that, Sarah?
You know what? It is really good. It's a really good movie. But I do worry about, like, the reviews are great.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody who's seen it thinks it's fantastic. But whenever I see a movie after all the hoopla and everyone says it's great, I'm always a little disappointed. So if you haven't seen the movie, I think that you should go in. You don't have to have low expectations, but just go in. You're going to see a fun little...
Manage your expectations.
Broad kind of comedy, and then you will be wowed by the magic of Jack Black. But
right.
if you go in and say, this is going to be the greatest movie I've ever seen in my life, because that's what everyone's saying, I can't imagine that it wouldn't be a disappointment. But that said, it is. It's a really good movie.
I can't think of the movies that I've seen that have been built up for months and months and months that I eventually saw... that I hated. You know what I mean? And also, here's the other one, is you don't see them in the theater. They get built up. They come and go out of the theater. You finally break down and rent the movie. And then you're at home and the phone's ringing and the baby's crying in Drew's case. And it never lives up to expectations. So go in expecting a good solid 6.5 to 7 and be wowed by the 9, but forget I said 9. I think that's what we're saying, right? All right. So, you know, here's my problem. I had to get up, I had to do some bit this morning with Bobcat for Jimmy's show, where he's doing a little Police Academy recreation. I got to play the part of Gutenberg, which was not the printing press guy, Steve Gutenberg. And it was, so I had to get up early this morning, and I have this thing. This is really how you know you're sort of a tortured person, which is the earlier I have to get up, the later I go to bed the night before, and the more miserable my night's sleep. Mm-hmm. I have to torture myself with that knowledge. Tomorrow I get up at 4:30, or tonight, or today, or whatever you want to look at it as. And I can't go to bed before 2:30. Mm-hmm. And I fixate on it, and it just becomes, I end up just sort of pacing around, staring at the clock. Yeah, what is that?
Well, it's good the way you prepared for this by beginning to just hammer absinthe with Marilyn Manson last night.
Boy, that's weird stuff. You ever tried that absinthe?
No, I've only heard of it. What was it like?
Marilyn Manson.
Why couldn't I sleep? Why couldn't I get up 3 hours later and work?
Oh, is that what it was?
Is that like being drunk?
It's like being sort of mushroomy high.
Really?
Mixed with a little bit of a NyQuil buzz.
Oh, my God.
Marilyn Manson, he came in here. He came in here last night. He was a delight. And he said, I brought you a bottle of absinthe. And people have trouble pronouncing it, and I do too. It's spelled like absinthe.
Yeah,
like you're absent from school, but they say absinthe.
Well, T-H-E at the end, absinthe.
I didn't see a T-H-E at the end.
Yeah.
I just saw a T and an S, but maybe I was loaded.
No, there was more.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
There's a T-H? I don't think there's a T-H.
Okay.
All right, we'll get to the bottom of this. But anyway, he comes in, he brings this big bottle of it in, and he says, a gift for you. And I say, oh, this is great. What is this? Oh, I've heard about this. And I'm always looking for a new thrill. You know, I mean, if I'll get high, I'll drink, you know, whatever's good, whatever's easy. You know, I'm down. I realize I'm a role model for a lot of the kids that are listening.
There's somebody taking pictures.
Sarah's going to have an epileptic seizure.
No, I'll tell you why. It gives me a little jolt because I keep getting those pictures when you drive through the yellow light on the tail end of the yellow is how I see it.
Mm-hmm. The rest of the country doesn't have that torture.
Do you? Yeah, we have mechanized tickets here where the man just sets up. Depending on what neighborhood you live in, and you live in a neighborhood that is chock full of these things, they just take pictures of you as you go through the yellow light.
And then mail you your ticket.
Yes. You need to take the front license plate of your automobile off.
Oh, that's genius.
Yes. Thank you. It's actually lazy. It's not like I took it off. It's like I never put it on. But that's another story. Take it off.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go back to the absinthe.
I've gone through. So this absinthe is this stuff that, I don't know, all great artists and composers and painters, over the years, they've all drank this stuff, right?
Yeah.
All the Van Goghs of the world, yes,
all
Drew?
All the ones that went eventually out of their mind, yes.
Right, and Marilyn Manson is getting into this stuff, and so he brings this bottle in last night, and he says, you know, I brought a gift for you, Adam, and I said, oh, great, I take it, I put it aside there, and I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to see, check this out when I get home, get a nice buzz, and Marilyn goes, well, let me show you how it works, and he pours himself a nice glass of it, and pours me a little glass.
Tumbler.
But he drank half the goddamn bottle and then took it home.
Oh, he did?
Took it home?
Yeah, I don't have it. Lauren took it home.
Oh, my God.
Where is that bottle? I want it back. All right. Well, the point
is...
Is
she okay?
Yeah, listen, she
has a little thing.
She has a cap of Robitussin, and she's trying to dry hump me. She's a mess, this one. Okay, she's this big. The carbuncle I had on my ass was bigger than she is. And weighed more, too. So here's this stuff. So anyway, and it's hard to tell what's, you know, you got Marilyn Manson here. And sometimes you just start, you get up in your own head and you start feeling a little lightheaded. You know what it is. But I drank a couple ounces of this stuff last night. And I can tell you it's a weird high.
Huh.
It's not drunk.
Huh.
It's high. It's a little sped up, a little lighter. It's not that slower kind of, you know.
So that's why you couldn't sleep. You were sped up.
No.
You were loaded.
How dare you?
How dare
I go to bed? I go to bed at 2:30. That's when I go to bed. Why?
Sarah,
I drank a ton of wine when I got home.
I knew that was coming.
Knock it down.
Yes. The usual. You double down and you're the usual.
Take the edge off.
Half bottle of wine.
You got to regulate.
Is this the book with the vagina penis?
Yeah.
You want to see that?
Yeah, man.
Look at that book. All right. So
wait, hold on. I give Sarah a little tour.
Let her see.
Oh.
Sarah Silverman here tonight, by the way, from School of Rock. Sarah has carved out a great career for herself. You know what I'm saying? do you understand that?
Yeah,
you feel that way? You know, you're real well respected, but it's not like you can't go to the market without being hounded by the paparazzi.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, no, that
you
is
good. You do good work. People know who you are.
They make the penis out of the forearm. You see that?
But do you...
That's a piece of the forearm. They pull it out. And
Drew, explain what you're showing.
Is that a dead person's forearm?
No, that's the person who's going to receive that penis.
And then what do they do with their... If you see someone who has half a forearm, you know that they have a fake penis.
And this is the old one. They put the new one on there. That's the vagina. And that's
the vagina with testosterone.
With testosterone, exactly.
That looks like my vagina. Is that a bad sign?
You have high levels of testosterone. That's
a
good thing.
I think I do.
Adam, you can talk now.
No, I'm not talking, Drew. When the book comes out, you figure the book out.
Okay,
but you got to mention the book.
Right.
You got to say what you're doing.
All right,
you have to narrate.
We're looking at a book of reconstructive and plastic surgery of the external genitalia.
I think I'm halfway there.
Which is the doctor this we had in here a few weeks ago takes the vagina and turns it into a penis.
You were just talking about it like 3 nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Dr. Alter was in here. Who I wanted to think was a bigger quack than he appeared to be.
No, he was good.
Well, he was good, but he was mad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Geniuses
are genius. The evil
genius. You absorb your punches quite nicely when you brought up the idea that you were a three-armed person caught in a four-limbed person body.
Yes.
He agreed with that argument.
Wait a minute.
Four-limbed person caught in a three-limbed.
Okay, Drew, just shut up. What's going on? How come you're the smart one? All right, where are we? Line 6, yeah. Jennifer. Let's talk to Jennifer. Jennifer, you're 18.
Yes.
What's up?
Oh, well, okay. Like, I had sex the first time, like, a month ago. And, well, it was with my boyfriend of, like, a year and a half. And, I thought it was fine, but I don't know. It was my first time, so I can't really tell. But, like, since then, I can't eat. And then it's just gotten to the point where I'm not even hungry anymore. And then, like, when I did eat, it, like, came out, like, the second I ate. And so I haven't tried since this. Like, I'm never hungry anymore. And I can't eat. And I can't even talk to my boyfriend anymore. I haven't talked to him since then. So we're pretty much, he's pretty much not my boyfriend anymore.
Well, hold on
here.
You're leaving some pieces out. Yeah, other than that, it went great.
He effed the appetite right out of her.
So you're depressed now. Having done this thing with him, you suddenly became severely depressed? Why?
I'm not depressed. I mean, I still feel happy and fine. It's just I never eat. Well, but I don't talk to him either.
No, so you don't. Wait a minute. You don't talk to him. You don't eat. That's depression. Are you religious?
No.
Why did this event destroy your relationship?
I have no idea, and that's what I really would like to know, because I'm 18 and have sex with my boyfriend who's over a year and a half, and there's nothing wrong with that, but...
And then you stopped talking to him, or he stopped talking to you?
I stopped talking to him.
Wait a minute. He's a boyfriend of a year and a half. You've been with a guy since you were 16 and a half or 17?
Yeah, since 16.
All right. Do you have a lot of feelings about losing your virginity? Do you have a religious family? Is there pressure on you? Do you feel dirty or bad?
Well, I never, like, got along with my mom about anything. And so, I mean, nobody in my family is religious, but, like, my mom is just kind of crazy. And she just likes to pretend I'm, like, 2 years old. And, like, I don't even live with her anymore, but that's just...
Ooh. Who do you live with?
I live with friends.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay.
Where's your dad?
My dad lives on East Coast.
How come you aren't with him?
She's 18.
I stopped talking to him when I was 10.
Why?
My mom and dad got a divorce, and then I was just never talked to him.
You run out of stuff to talk about around 9 or 10. Me and my dad ran out of stuff. I was only like 7 and a half.
Three.
My mom, I was 6, I think, the last time. I mean, we have conversations now, but they're kind of forced, you know, and they're stilted.
Yeah. Jennifer, that's a fairly traumatic history you're describing.
That's what you got to look into.
And somehow this intimacy that you've achieved with this boyfriend just completely blew you out of the water. And I imagine he's very confused. All of a sudden, his girlfriend leaves him because you had a physical intimacy.
Well, did she leave him or did they just stop talking? Because I wouldn't know it if my wife stopped talking to me. I mean, it'd have to be a couple of months, and then I think I would start to get suspicious. And then I would probably enjoy the next few months, and then I would feel bad.
Then you'd worry.
But then I'd be back to happy again. Jennifer?
Yeah?
When is the last time you spoke to him?
That night, like a month ago.
Okay, isn't he hounding you and calling you and wanting to know what's up?
Well, since I don't live with my mom anymore, my number has been changed, and so he doesn't have my new number, and he doesn't know, like, who I'm staying with, and I'm never home half the time because I'm at school.
Okay. High school or junior college?
Junior college.
Oh, yeah, that's smart.
Don't you think he's worried about you?
Probably.
All right, well, why don't you call him up?
Okay.
Yeah. Jennifer, you've got to accept that you are at least disturbed. You're upset about this whole experience.
Wow, that's the minimum?
Yeah.
And about the experience?
She's unwilling to call it depression, which it clearly has a component of that.
This conjured up...
Something.
Yeah.
Something.
The thing about virginity for a lot of women is it just... let me explain what goes on with the ladies there. you guys, it's like this. It's like... It's like, you know, in the cartoons when the guy opens the closet and everything comes out, and of course the last thing is a bowling ball that lands on his head. That closet, that hymen closet, you guys, it just keeps getting filled and filled and filled with more junk. And the guy thinks he's just opening it and putting his coat in there. But when he opens the virginity hymen closet, pow, lots of stuff that's been stored up, all the mom and dad arguments, and if there's any sexual molestation or physical abuse or all those weird relationships with dad and parental figures and everything, they all just come piling out. So this poor guy just got hit with this closet full of crap, and he has no idea what happened. See what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
All right. Sarah's closet looks like one of the pictures, by the way, that's in the book.
Yeah.
Go ahead and post it by that, Drew. I'm going to need to look at that later.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm going to need to... Oh, yeah. Yeah, that book, boy. That book.
That's a little penis, yes.
That's a little penis. That looks like my closet. See, that's your closet.
That's a little penis with an apostrophe.
Yeah, that's a little that's little penis, yeah. Chrissy?
Yeah, what's up?
You're 23?
Yeah.
Sarah Silverman in the studio tonight.
What's up, Sarah?
Hey, how you doing, Chrissy?
Good, how are you?
Chrissy.
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 I was just wondering why Dr. Drew hates Dr. Phil.
Because he makes more money than he does.
I don't hate
plain
him.
And simple. No, plain and
I
simple.
I just am troubled by the... Mm-hmm. How can I say this in an easy way? He takes a certain posture that is potentially dangerous and beats people over the head with it, and it could hurt people. And
so you don't like his technique of like throwing people's problems in their face like that?
Yeah, that's not the way things are done. It can be very. Somebody's going to kill themselves, or you know, it's going to be something really adverse is going to happen.
Well, isn't it? Here's what goes on. I mean,
when you're a physician, you're trained diligently to do no harm.
Yeah.
And if somebody is using techniques that could hurt people without using a lot of diagnostic sophistication and or following through on what potentially people need, that's pretty serious stuff.
Does he have the same credentials as you do? Like,
no.
Are you both psychologists?
No, or? I'm a physician. And
how long have you been listening to the show, Chrissy?
I don't know. Off and on since I was like 16.
All right.
But not regularly.
Right. But still a solid 7 years, perhaps, of listening to the show. Board certified physician. Jake, someone calls up with the cancer and stuff, and Drew starts talking about white blood cells and all sorts of bizarre things. You think it's just a counselor? I'm always amazed that nobody doesn't really come through. You got to get an outfit.
Psychologists have like medical training too.
No,
they do, right?
No, they don't.
Well, psychiatrists do then.
Psychiatrists do.
Okay.
But you wouldn't see a psychiatrist doing what he's doing.
All right. Well, listen, we don't like Dr. Phil because he does make more money than us.
No, I don't. I'm just worried about
him. He's a bit of a blowhard.
He raped me.
Let's face it.
It has a point to be made, and I'm glad he's making the point. But it's being made. For instance, to get on TV and say I have the solution to the obesity problem in this country means that if you don't follow what I'm telling you and you can't get thin with my technique, you're flawed.
Right.
Because I have the solution.
Yeah.
And it's a tremendously complex issue that no one has the solution for. Well, people spend their life studying it.
What's wrong with him is what's wrong with, like, all organized religion anyway, you know?
Yes.
Him like a god, and he's happy to...
Well, I'm amazed at how unsophisticated the average person is in the matters of psychology, that they listen to this guy with his sort of long-winded platitudes and look at him like he's some sort of deity. But once in a while, like once every 3 years, one of these people comes around like Susan Powder. Remember Susan Powder?
Oh, yes.
The weight loss guru? Just looked into her eyes and it looked like whacked out eating disorder bitch. But I'd watch her do her infomercials and she'd be like, if you want to lose weight, you've got to do three things. You've got to move, you've got to breathe, and you've got to take in less than you burn off. And it'd be like, let me see. You got to move. What was the second one?
Breathe.
Hold on. Now that's controversial. Breathe in and out,
and
or just
both
out?
Both ways.
Both ways. And move. You got to burn more calories than you take in. All righty.
And
the reason you don't see
her anymore. One of the reasons.
What happened to her?
That she advocated strongly against vaccinating your children, and people died because of it.
Yeah.
She very seriously harmed people by scaring the crap out of them about an important health maintenance issue, and that can't go on. They just can't go on. And the thing is, when people say...
She went off the deep end at some point, right?
And when you got to get out there and you have to say, people advocate that you can choose your way out of addiction, you can choose your way out of obesity, it's just something you're not motivated enough. That is BS. These are motivational, biological elements in the brain that cannot be undone through any volition. And, you know, they require very intensive long-term kinds of treatments.
All right, well, good time. Sarah Silverman here tonight.
Hey, good times.
Mallory?
Yes.
You're 17?
Yes, sir.
What is up?
Well, I lost my virginity about 11 months ago, and I have, from the very moment, felt so guilty. And now since then, I've lost a boyfriend because I wouldn't have sex with him. I've lost my best friend because I couldn't bring myself to tell her I lost my virginity.
This is that closet opening up again.
Wow.
But you know what, though? It's kind of refreshing. Good old-fashioned guilt.
Yeah.
We don't get to hear about guilt very much on this show. People that actually sort of have a value that they violate and then feel bad about it.
Like Catholic guilt?
This sounds more like Catholic than Jewish.
No,
she's calling from Dallas.
No.
She can't be a Jew.
It's not Catholic.
Oh, how dare you.
Sorry. Oh, we're way off with the Christian. All right, but here's the thing. Do you attend church regularly?
I did, until that happened. And
you were 16 when you lost your virginity?
Yes. And
how old was your boyfriend?
He wasn't a boyfriend.
Ooh.
Mm-mm. Who was he?
We didn't have a title. We were dating.
Mm-hmm. So that makes you feel worse about the whole thing?
Oh, most definitely.
Did he just take off right after you had sex?
Pretty much. We pretty much just kind of stopped talking, but I went to school with him, so I saw him every day.
Do you think maybe the more than guilt, this is a sense of sort of anger and shame that you allowed yourself to get involved with this guy that just used you?
Well, yes and no, because, like, when it happened, like, the moment it happened, I just started crying, and I felt extremely dirty, and I felt like a whore, you know? I just, and it's like I became very, very depressed, especially in the springtime. As when it got the worst, I got very, very depressed. Like,
all right, hold on a second.
You stinking whore.
Please. That was the old Adam. First off, I was just thinking about Kobe the whole time. She's talking about crying because I was listening to all that court testimony today.
Oh, really?
And I always love it when it's really super specific stuff. You know, he grabbed me, tugged my hair, called me a bitch, told me to turn around and look at him, then told me not to do this, then gave me like a wet nap for my eyes and stuff. And then the guy's like, I never met this woman before. You know, it's always like whenever the court testimony is super specific, and especially like we talk about on this show, specific that doesn't even have an angle half the time, right. Just weird specific.
Like when you're lying to your parents.
Yeah.
No. You're lying to parents. You can't be specific. When you've been in a traumatic event,
you can talk
about everything. You can talk about, you know, what color the...
Here's what I'm saying.
Oh, when it's true.
When it's true. Here's
very specific.
Here's what I'm saying, which is when people are lying, everything that comes out of their mouth is a necessary element for the lie. It's like they're building something and each word is a brick. When something really happened, they're building something, but they don't know what shape it's going to be. It's just whatever happened.
They just want to convey it to you how they're feeling.
Like when we talk to some guy and he calls up, like we talk to these snot-nosed teenagers all night long, these 17-year-old jack-offs, you know, and they call us and they're like, dude, I nailed my best friend's mom. And if you say, well, what was she wearing? And they say, she's wearing a tight teddy with like a garter belt and stiletto heels. It's like, okay, he's lying.
Yeah, and you go, what, she walked in the room with that? Yeah, what room are you in?
Just shut up, Drew. Let me finish, please. Yeah. But if you say, what was she wearing? And she's like, and the guy's like, she was wearing like these orange Tampa Bay sweatpants and just a regular, like a white V-neck T-shirt. Then he's not lying because it's no good for a story. Doesn't help. So if it's just specific information that doesn't push the story along, they're not lying.
Because that's just life. Life
that's just life.
Tons of specifics, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting. So
that's how you know people are lying. They're interesting. Whenever someone's
interesting. We never lie, see?
Yeah, Drew never lies. He's boring.
What about this girl?
Oh, this girl. All right. So what was I saying? Oh, anyway, I was thinking about Kobe because the chick said she was crying and this and that. And there's this weird move where it's like he was having sex with me. I was crying, and he told me to turn around and look at him, and everyone kind of did the sex math. They were like, turn around. Oh, okay. Okay. I see. Okay, so, but here's the thing. I'm not religious. I'm an atheist, and I'm angry at the religious people, but mostly because I'm jealous. I wish I thought I was going somewhere other than in the ground. You know what I mean? These people have a huge advantage. Every time they get in an airplane, anytime a loved one dies, anytime anything bad happens, it's like, oh, well, I'm going to see them one day and all that other nonsense. I'm jealous of that. Mallory's a religious person. Mallory feels like she lost her virginity and she let people down and stuff. But isn't it sort of narcissism? Like somebody cares, really, yeah, that some guy you went to high school with after you when you were 17?
Let me talk to you real quick. There's two things I would
say. Maybe she should get over herself.
It's about the boy telling everybody she's going to be labeled as a slut because she had sex with someone and nobody thinks about him having sex.
It's getting pretty cathartic now. Just hold on for a second.
I see that. Yeah, sidebar here.
No, I didn't have sex in high school.
Pick her side during the break, okay, please.
Okay. Okay. Don't show her the book anymore.
Did something.
Okay.
Mallory.
Yes.
Mallory, I have a suspicion that if this guy had actually stayed with you and been your boyfriend, you wouldn't have quite the intensity of feelings.
Yes.
And B, if these really are surrounding your religious beliefs, why don't you talk to a clergy?
I feel guilty. I feel like I'm not good enough to go back to church. And
all right, well, you need to go
and get over it.
You need to go. You need to
There's
talk
no
to
God anyway. So what's the big deal?
You need to talk to your clergy.
That's
really,
what church is for. That's what we're sinners. For. That's not for right. People who don't.
That's right. Nobody's perfect.
That's right. Nobody. All right. God, only Jesus. God. God's perfect, and then we're all sinners, and we're all sin. We all sin the same, too. No difference in Drew
same.
And Idi Amin.
Same.
Same sin. Same sinners. Everything's the same. Can't judge. All right. Sarah Silverman in studio tonight. Name of the book?
Thank you.
Name of the movie? School of Rock,
God.
Everybody.
That's how autopilot-y it is.
I know.
Name
well,
of the book.
I said it because Ben Stein is in here plugging that rag.
I know. We're two peas.
I just think chew. One big chew. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew.
That was funny, Dr. Drew.
Yeah. What did he do?
I don't know. I just wanted it to seem like he said something really funny. I wanted to give him something.
Let's liven this show up a bit.
He gets to work with me. That's enough. Sarah Silverman here, whose initials are SS. I never really thought about that.
I know.
That's unfortunate. Sarah is in School of Rock, which is... the movie of the year so far, according to everybody. Jack Black is supposed to be fantastic. It's like heartwarming. Everyone loves it. Adults love it. Kids love it. The music's great. Mm. Everyone's in love with this movie. And Sarah, although I've not seen the film, I'm sure is excellent at it, as she is in everything. And it made the trailer. So that's really all it's about.
I'm mean in it.
That's what I hear.
I'm a bad guy.
But that's good. It's a nice, against
type.
That's
what they give the
bad
Jews.
You play a good bad guy. Greg the Bunny, that was so funny sometimes.
Sometimes.
I like
that.
Sometimes.
I know you love that show.
I love that show. But I love...
What's with the sometimes?
Well, sometimes when she was bad, it was extra funny. You know
it was good, but I'm getting a little tired of being the a-hole all the time. I'd like to be a nice girl. A nice girl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? You know, for someone beautiful and funny... And a little nutty, not really weird or mean or anything. That weird sides, you know? I mean, I keep waiting for Jimmy to tell me some stories about how she snapped on him, but not gone weird.
No, we get along really well, but the best part is that he told me there was a... Did he tell you this? There's like a story in the Globe or one of those... The Globe.
The
that's like the Inquirer, right?
Yeah.
No, I think he said the Globe, but it said that we were in Seattle and in an elevator fighting over... What was the best ride at Disneyland?
It
said, I said, the Haunted Mansion, and he said, the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah, I saw that, or I think he showed it to me. It's a couple days, maybe the beginning of the week. And you guys were in Seattle, but never argued over it.
Yeah, I'm sure we were in the elevator, too. But if we were fighting about that, we were
kidding.
Definitely kidding.
I can see you guys goofing around.
Can't
about
imagine.
That.
I don't think we don't really fight.
They're newlyweds. You know what I mean? They're in the honeymoon phase.
You and your wife don't fight?
No, we don't fight.
Yeah. No. You don't talk to your wife, though.
We're trying to talk.
Yeah,
well, that leads to fighting. You start talking, that leads to disagreement. Yeah, disagreement leads to fight.
You have a fight great wife.
Yeah,
too bad he never speaks to her.
Oh, please.
You know where he was on his
cell
one-year
phone?
Where was she on their 1 year?
Yeah.
How do you ask
yeah,
that?
Yeah, where was she?
In New York.
That's right. That's right.
Shocking.
Now we
with her
out.
Real boyfriend, Bruce.
That's right. Loves that Bruce.
Bruce. Heishover?
Dr. Bruce.
Springsteen.
No, Dr. Bruce Dr. Springsteen.
Bruce. Yeah. She follows Bruce Springsteen around the country. Yeah. I know he's compliant. Julia?
Oh, hi.
You're 19?
I am. Adam, I think you're an absolute genius, except you're very misled in your political beliefs, but that's not my
question. What are they? Well, give me, help
you're
me.
You're too conservative. yeah, you should not support the Republicans, in my opinion. But, you know.
Well, I'm not, you know, I'm not really that conservative in the sense that, you know, I want to be able to grow pot plants at my house and that kind of stuff. You know, I mean, I'm not that kind of conservative. I'm just tired of giving all my money to a bunch of stinking lazy people who don't want to do anything with it.
Your money goes to the military. Your money goes to the corporations.
Yes. Well, it doesn't. No, it does go to the military, and I would like them to do a little something about that. And I do have my
federal budget, Adam.
Major. Hey, listen, I have my major complaints about that. I mean, stuff like the Star Wars research and all that nonsense needs to go away.
Wait a minute, but the real problem is the intensity of California taxes and where they go, isn't it? That's what really puts you over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, federal taxes are still like...
No. California, it's over the top.
California's the worst.
It all goes right up California's nose.
That's right. Yeah. Well, anyway, no, listen, I'm all over the map, but whatever.
Yeah, good times.
Yeah, good times.
That's because Julia's never had to pay taxes. She doesn't know where it goes.
Hey, Julia.
Yo.
Hey, Julia, imagine making $600,000 in a year, okay?
Mm.
Okay, close your eyes and imagine that.
I've got it.
Okay, now imagine giving it away. All of it. Every penny of it.
No, if the people...
All right, and then imagine when you want... How about shut up?
No.
Then imagine.
Seriously.
Then you imagine. No. Shut up, you whore.
I'm not a whore. No, top 1% make if they paid the same taxes that the... people make, then
you need to give her a lecture on your history.
So much more.
What? Say it again. Say that again.
Dude, everywhere. It's like
if the top 1%,
if they pay the same kind of taxes that just normal people do, even middle class people. The corporations who are contributing
Okay. I'm in the top 1%. I'm putting myself in the top 1%.
Good time.
I don't know how it works. I don't know what the top 1% is, but
you're in the top 1/10 of 1%.
I'm putting myself in the top 1%.
You're in the top 1/10 of 1%.
Okay, let me explain something to you, you little snot-nosed 19-year-old. I paid like $600,000 last year. How much did you pay? How much did your soft-bellied liberal school teacher mom pay? How much? $600,000? How much? What's your dad do?
He's an OBGYN, actually.
All right, how much did he make? Do you have any idea?
No, I don't really know.
All right, you know what a school teacher pays? You know what a garbage man pays?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, they have to pay the same percentage as, everybody else.
No, I pay more. I pay a much higher percentage.
That's why rich people always become Republicans.
That's
because
right.
The Republicans love the rich and hate the poor, and Democrats love the poor and hate the rich. And so when you become rich, you become a Republican. Isn't
that's
that the
right.
way it goes?
I'm literally a millionaire. But listen, Julie,
whatever happened to just making a level playing field for everybody?
But look.
That's really the whole
thing. But
goal,
no, here's the deal. I pay a higher percentage than a school teacher pays. What do you mean?
Shouldn't you?
If the top, not a higher percentage.
Property taxes, and if you do, then you're not, benefiting like the corporations who are making major, political.
Yeah, but corporations aren't people.
You said that you're not. You're mixing everybody up. Look,
I'm talking top.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
I'm a sociology
major. Oh boy.
Oh well, that's it. Listen, here's the thing, everybody. I'm saying two things.
You were poor all your life, so you got to give both perspectives.
Oh, listen, everyone can kiss my ass because my mom was on welfare and food stamps, and she just sat around and collected a welfare check her whole life. And if someone had taken the welfare check away, she would have got off her fat ass and gone to work. I believe.
And then you were poor. You've been there
my whole life. I didn't have health insurance until I met Jimmy Kimmel. No car insurance, no dental insurance, no health insurance, nothing. The bank owed the IRS $3,000. That's it. No credit cards, zero. No savings accounts, nothing. Just poor, piss poor. When I got injured or hurt, I go to County USC. That's it. Lived in apartments, drove cars, beat up trucks with no car insurance until I was 30.
When you got injured or hurt, you'd have to keep working.
Yeah, nothing. Yeah. Never. Couldn't miss a day. Never got paid for one day that I didn't go to work until I got into radio when I was like 30, 31. So I know from poor. I'm fine with poor. I've been poor. My family's poor. They're proud. They're poor and they're proud. And I understand that. And here's all I'm saying. I'm not poor. But here's the thing. I pay a higher percentage than a school teacher pays, which means that in 1 year of working, I pay what they put into the system in like 20 years of work. And I'm fine with that. I just don't like the part where I get beat up for it. That's the part where I'm a bad guy from people like Julie over here, amazingly calling from Berkeley, where I'm some sort of bad guy. I pay $600. Her hippie mom pays $4,500, and I'm the devil. And we get the exact same thing, same road, same garbage men, same thing. Everything's the same.
Yeah, it's like poor people and rich people, both of them don't have, both groups have no incentives.
Right. You keep the poor guys down, the middle guys down, and the poor guy, and you pull down the other guys.
All right.
You're pulling people down and keeping people down.
I don't want to turn to a political show, but I'm tired of getting my ass kicked for paying. I paid $600,000 last year, whatever it was. I want some ass kissing. That's all I'm saying. Just kiss my ass. Please. You paid $4,500. I paid $450,000. Don't I get a little something? No, I don't get anything. I want the garbage guy to come pick up a sofa out front of my house every once in a while. That's all I'm saying. All right, Julia.
Yes.
All right, you graduate, you get in the real world, you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm going to be a political activist like Arianna Huffington. It's good times.
Good.
That's great.
Thank you. Sarah.
Yeah, she's Arianna Huffington, please.
Oh, she's my hero. She's super Republican.
She didn't pay taxes for 3 years.
She does now, and she donates, and she's trying to make a change. But anyways,
she's trying to make a change from her mansion. She's trying to make a change.
Well, she pays, you know, the kind of property taxes that everybody else does. But, I mean, we're talking like CEOs and stuff.
No, she pays a ton more because she lives in a mansion.
Well, yeah. No, but it is so not comparable. I mean, the percentages, you have to understand. Like,
Yeah. Listen, you're 19.
I think it's, you don't know anything. But it's great that you are a sociology major and you can absolutely make a change in the world.
But, yeah. What's going on? What'd you call for?
I bet she marries a Coke dealer.
What's up?
Yeah, I hope so. I saw School of Rock and it was really good. I was wondering who you were in it.
I was the mean girlfriend.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Sarah.
Wasn't I so mean, though, Julia?
What?
I was mean.
Yeah, you were mean, but yeah, you were good. It was a really good movie. And then, Dr. Drew, I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
All
right, that's
please, come on.
That's enough,
Drew. Let's get something out of that call.
Take a break.
Give Dr. Drew
quickly.
A little something.
We had a little political discourse.
Julia, real quick.
Okay, I, drank way too much a couple days ago, and I still can't sleep and have, a crazy headache, and I can't eat.
Yes.
Too much what?
Alcohol. Was it one night of drinking or was it a weekend of drinking?
2 days of drinking.
Yeah. You'll have alcohol withdrawal for about a week. So you'll have mood disturbances, sleep disturbances. You may have changes in your appetite.
Lightweight.
You may feel.
I shouldn't take aspirin or anything.
No. In fact, avoid Tylenol. Shouldn't take aspirin. You may need to see a doctor because sometimes you can get. You can actually get liver, what's called acute sclerosing hyaline necrosis therapist, right?
What'd you have?
Acute sclerosing hyaline necrosis, which is alcoholic hepatitis. Yeah, you might have gotten what's called acute sclerosing hyaline necrosis of the liver, which is a pretty serious thing, and your liver has to regenerate after that.
Yeah.
And you can be sick for a little while. Yeah. And also, your academic performance will suffer for about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Expect to have difficult.
Don't fill our head with that nonsense.
That's the way it goes.
Look, you just need to take a chill pill, baby.
No, I need to, make some changes. Arnold Schwarzenegger's our governor, and I'm
chill
scared.
Pill.
Get out there. Make sure all the corporations are run out of the state. That's got to be your goal, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Any corporation, any company employs more than eight people, get them out of the state.
We'll have no jobs.
Time is over.
It'll be perfect.
Oh, no, we won't. They'll all be planting daisies. Don't worry. We'll put everyone to work. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Sarah Silverman here. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Sarah Silverman, the beautiful and talented Sarah Silverman, the funny. Sarah Silverman.
Oh, is she good?
Yeah.
I just wrote that today.
Yeah. Speaking of farting, Jimmy Kimmel, has he started blowing wind in front of you?
No.
Really?
What? How does
no.
He must.
He must. No? Yes? No?
How could that be?
I don't know. I don't know what he does.
I honestly can't figure it out.
He does, he talks about it. He tells me all the stories.
He can produce.
He does, there's a lot of action goes on in the bathroom.
Okay.
And it's not soundproof, but he's.
But does he leave presents for you like Adam does for his wife?
He's very respectful. He doesn't fart in front of me.
Wow.
That is,
I think he might be mad at me for saying that.
This is the guy that farts on his friends' heads.
I know. Because you know what? I asked him. I said farting is for television. Farting is for when you're with your friends and when you're on TV. Mm-hmm. And with me, I want to keep it lovers as long as we can ride it.
Right. And I'm trying to get to the point in my relationship where I answer with farts. That's my favorite. That's my favorite thing. My wife's like, honey, are we going to go to your mom's house this weekend? I'm like, nothing funnier. There's nothing funnier than a well-placed answer fart. When I said to Bobcat once, I said, Bob, is it true you can fart on demand? And he just went, just thought, wow, that's the best answer I've ever heard.
I did that too once. Kevin Nealon, he can fart anytime. I don't know. Yeah.
Wow.
And I said, see if you can fart by the time I count to three. One, and then on one. On one.
Yeah. Yeah. Huh. Whew. I knew I loved that Nealon kid.
He's so
I didn't know
funny.
Why I couldn't put my finger on it, but now I can put my finger in it. I love that Kevin Nealon. All right. Well, anyway, one day, God willing, Jimmy will get off the Beano and on the Dutch oven for you. Scott?
Yeah. Hi, guys.
You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
I've got a question here. When I was 12, I started masturbating, and instead of just stroking up and down like normal, I decided to hold on to the skin and go up and down. And in the process now, I've stretched it out so much that I think I've deformed it.
Mm-hmm.
Deformed the skin, not the penis itself.
Yeah. I've got... Are you
an uncircumcised fella?
No. Circumcised.
Circumcised. But yet you grab the skin and you figure you've stretched it out.
Yeah.
But again, there's no curve or anything like that of the shaft.
Slight curve to the right, but nothing noticeable.
Nothing noticeable. So you got a little Sharpay syndrome going there? A little extra skin?
Yeah. It kind of looks like I'm, how to describe, about halfway, I'm halfway circumcised.
All right.
So you created some stuff over the tip.
Yeah, but he didn't, I don't think he caused that. He probably just got a light circumcision and,
Well,
that's just you, buddy.
Pulled the turtleneck up over.
Yeah, what's the problem?
Well, let's see here. When I was, a couple months after I started doing this, I started getting these big, I don't know what you call them, but they would hurt when I touched them. We had to put, like, some kind of medicine on them, and they would go away.
We?
The royal we?
No, I would.
You?
Yeah.
It was.
What kind of medicine did you put on them?
Things I put on for diaper rash, and took it right away, took it off.
So what's your question?
And now, I'm just wondering.
Hold on a second. I wonder if this is bogus.
Yeah, it's going that direction.
It's going the bogus route. No one stretches it. God knows.
Adam, right. Your penis.
You guys are genius.
Adam's penis would be like a tail behind him.
I'd be dragging it.
Yeah.
How old is
it'd
it?
It'd be like an umbilical
He's,
cord.
17. But listen, there was
sometimes they don't know to use cream yet.
Study. Oh, some guys don't do that.
Thank you. I'll tell you why. Because when the big one, when the
first
big
of all,
one
first
hits,
it already I've got Jimmy's picture clearly in mind.
Jimmy's a lube man.
Clearly,
he's a lube man. I'll tell you why. One is because I had to give all my lube to Jimmy because he's a lube
you were too
whore.
Poor for lube.
He hoards lube. Okay, no, yeah, we didn't grow up in a house without lube. Is basically that's going to be the name of my book. We didn't have lube. Lube was expensive. That's for the Rockefellers, as my dad once said. But no, I grew up with a dry technique, and I'm glad because it's great when you're camping after the big one hits and everyone's struggling, waiting in long lube lines.
You're fine.
I'm just a spit in the hand away from ecstasy. You see what I'm saying?
There's a new study
I'm prepared.
Came out today about HIV and circumcision, showing that HIV is less likely to be transmitted to a circumcised man.
To a circle. So, less likely
right,
to be
so
transmitted.
Again, uncircumcised increases the risk of warts, HIV, and a little bit other sexually transmitted diseases. But clearly now, HIV and the transmission of cervical cancer higher in the circumcised.
Right.
Uncircumcised, if I can
right.
put it.
Oh, yes.
So although there's no clear indication why a young child should be circumcised, there's accumulating reasons
and
that
it's,
maybe
it's quite
they should.
Substantial. It's almost 0.01%.
That's right.
Thanks, Drew.
Oh, and
yeah, it's nothing. By the way, he talks about it being higher. It's not measurable. Scott, so don't listen to that. Scott, I'm sorry. Yeah, get your bogus thing in. We got to go to break.
Oh, there's one more thing. The one thing is, it looks like I have an extra layer of skin. It's kind of transparent. You can see underneath it, like I had extra skin on it, over top, around it.
We can't figure out what you're describing.
On the shaft, like.
I'm picturing a...
Who cares?
I'm picturing a trailer hitch with a cut-off sock put over it.
Yeah, kind of like that, but transparent.
All right. This is bogus, right? No. You're making this up?
No. Does it have any superpowers?
No.
Did you leave a condom on?
No.
All right, Scott, we're not going to answer your question.
Well, no, I just, I someone needs to look at it, Scott, because I cannot understand a body, you know, a...
It's like if you put your hand on your head and you can move the skin around on your forehead.
That's normal.
Let me tell you.
That's not see-through. There's nothing see-through about
it. I don't know what's transparent about it. But here, look, here's the deal. Normally, the skin matches up with the shaft that's inside of it. Once in a while, you get an odd match.
A little Sharpay.
Yeah, you get the guy with too much skin and not enough shaft, and then once in a while, if you watch enough porn, you'll see the guy with too much shaft, not enough skin.
Oh, really?
I mean, it's like transparent, pulled like a snare drum.
Nice.
You know what I'm talking about? I mean, that's hard, baby. You know what that feels like? Man.
You'll have to tell me during the break.
Whew, it's like a carpenter's awl going in your side. All right, we got to take ourselves a little break. Sarah Silverman in studio tonight. School of Rock, name for a movie. Take a break. We'll be right
back. Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Kelly Osbourne in here next week, amongst others. Sarah Silverman in here tonight. School of Rock is the name of her movie. Our movie, The Windy City Heat, is going to be on Comedy Central on Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Jimmy's call reminded me to mention that.
Speaking of wind.
Yeah. So Jimmy just called Sarah and gave her a good chewing out for admitting to the world he doesn't fart.
He didn't give me
a
chewing out. He said two words. It's over. I thought he was breaking up with me. I'm like, what do you mean it's over? What do you mean it's over? He said, it's over. It's over.
Your win-free days are over?
Yeah.
Wow. That's trouble,
too. Is he on hold still?
Because let me tell you something about the reign of terror that is his ass. You unleash it. It's like one of those.
Armageddon.
I did.
It's like a Clive Barker movie where you open a box in an attic and all of a sudden light comes out of it.
Jumanji? Jumanji.
I experienced it twice, actually.
You did.
Once I just walked into the bathroom in his office an hour after he was there.
Without testing first?
An hour, that's a second.
And
that's a second in Jimmy's ass time.
And one, and another one, he like went into the bathroom for some reason and then ran into the bedroom and it like followed him in the like with the
The trail.
He's the like wind, you know, like the like there must have been a vacuum formed.
Yeah.
The
comet. Yeah, you gotta cut the tail off by slamming the door. That's what I do. It's an invisible umbilical cord of gas that goes from his ass. Yeah.
Another time I walked into his office and he said Craig farted, who's like one of his assistants.
Yeah.
One of the guys who works there.
Craig, the worst guy, by the way, because Craig has never farted, to the best of my knowledge. But I mean, he's wrong. If Cousin Sal is there, it's easy to pin a fart on him. But Craig is the kind of guy who would you know, put a hose up his ass and fart into his own mouth before he actually farted into a room that Jimmy was in.
Well, I completely believed it. And every time I saw Craig after that, I'd be like, remember that fart? That was the worst fart I ever smelled in my life. And he just said, yeah. And then finally, like 6 months later, Jimmy's like, you know that was me that day. I couldn't believe it. I felt so naive.
Oh, but impressed though, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
He now has he's big time now. He's got his...
to learn to love it.
He has his lackeys. He has his posse claiming responsibility for his gas in front of his lady.
It is over.
Yeah. But let me tell you, that's...
it's also on.
It's game on. Yeah. But you know what? I'll tell you what it means. It means that you guys have entered...
a plateau.
You've crossed over. Yeah. No, it's a very important part of the relationship.
I want it to be romantic.
But that's unrealistic to try to keep that up for more than like 6 or 8 weeks. That's the way I look at it.
That's
you got to accept the person who they really are.
This is long term now.
I do accept him for who he is, and I love that he farts. I love all his farting stories from his day. He tells me all of them, and they're like the treat of my day.
Did you hear about the time that he cleared the bus out?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, let me say this. Farting isn't a part of Jimmy. That is Jimmy. okay, that his, that's what he is, okay? It's not like, well, he's a father, he's a comedian, and he's a farter. No, that's what he is, okay? He's a farter first. He's a father second. He's a comedian third. Do you see what I'm saying?
He's a son.
He's many things, but they all fall under the large gas umbrella. You know what I'm saying? That's what he is. That's his essence.
I do know.
His essence is his essence. So and it's bad. You see what I'm saying?
His essence is his essence.
That's his essence, Drew.
And she's going to have to take it in.
Yes, you're going to have to absorb his essence if you want to be a part of his life.
Know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go in 100%.
That's right.
If he farts, I'm going to, if he's across the room, I'm going to wave it towards my nose.
Commitment.
And I'm going to take it in. I'm going to go 100%.
Sweetie,
I'm going to learn to love it.
Chin high, nostrils flared. With a look of determination on your face next time you walk into that office.
It's the way, like, you drive by a skunk smell and you go, that's disgusting. But if you're a pothead, you smell it and you love it.
That's
right.
I'm
going to smell it and I'm going to love it. I'm going to love it like a drug.
Start smoking pot is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you should learn. You should become intoxicated with it.
What about that?
Yeah. All right. Hey. All right, so where are we?
Jimmy Gas Loveline.
Take a call.
Sarah Silverman in studio tonight. Hey, let me ask you something seriously, Drew.
Yeah.
When you take in gas, you're taking in, obviously you're not just taking in smelly air. There's particles in it that give it the smell, right? Can it damage your liver or lungs or anything like that?
I imagine if we're concentrated enough, it would replace the oxygen. You'd have trouble.
You get a light head, you have to
Jimmy
sit down.
Could probably.
Yeah. Do you think I could get high off of it?
No. There's nothing euphoric
you could try.
About it.
If Jimmy ate,
he might see the white light.
What if Jimmy ate a pot brownie and then farted on Sarah?
No.
Worth a try or no?
You might see the light for a second.
What if he farted into my ass directly?
He did a French fart where he actually transferred a fart.
Because I play poker with this old comic who he used to be in the cocaine heroin days, and he said that Stanley Allman. He said that him and his girlfriend would put cocaine in little capsules and then put them up each other's asses.
Oh yeah, that people
What does that get you? Get you a good
absorbs
high?
Absorbs the cocaine that way. Yeah,
nice.
It's because their noses were so eroded they couldn't do the nasal stuff anymore.
Oh, yeah. What the hang with this guy? What if Jimmy just blew a huge cocaine dust cloud? Like right as the capsule dissolved, he broke wind and filled the room with coke.
It'd be something.
That
nice.
Was the original scene in. What was it, Manhattan?
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, when he sneezed in it. I'm there. I'm with you. No. What he sneezed in it was in Sleeper, too, where they're just handing around or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. Two gags.
Nathan?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah, how's it going?
Got a question for Sarah?
I was wondering when she started Saturday Night Live and how long she was in it.
I was there the 93-94 season, and
I was there
for 10 years.
You were there?
I mean, 1 year.
Oh, 1 year. All right. And Adam, I was wondering when you're going to have any kids.
Soon.
Really?
Good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Someone
yeah.
needs that knowledge. If your seed dies, it'll be a shame.
No!
Yeah.
And Dr. Drew, you are a diva, and I love you.
Diva.
Yes. Huh.
Thank you.
Wow,
thank
such
you,
a gay
Nathan.
Thing to say.
No, Drew sings, and he's a little bit of a priss. He has some diva in him.
Really?
Like if you travel with you.
Really?
You know what I mean? Well, you're weird because you're real flexible about a lot of things, and then you get prissy about things
really?
On occasion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Hmm.
But I like it.
Do you have a favorite floss?
Floss? No.
I do. You notice the difference between the generic stuff and the good stuff. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk to Clint. Clint?
Hi.
You're 21?
Yeah.
You're gay and your ex-boyfriend wants to get back together with you?
He kind of, yeah.
But he won't dump the new guy?
Yeah, and he won't. He says he's scared to break up with them to move out to Colorado to be with me.
Is your real name Clint?
Yes, it is.
I'm a homosexual.
Clint's
Hello?
One of those names where you name your kid Clint, and there's a 90% chance he's going to put out oil derrick fires. You know what I mean? But then the 10% he goes gay. You know what I mean? It's a little bit, you roll the Clint dice when you go with Clint. You know what I'm saying?
It's one extreme or the other, you're saying, yeah.
You're one extreme or another. Right.
And so what is the question exactly? I'm a little unclear.
So I don't know what to do because he calls me all the time, and he tells me that he wants to be with me, but he says he's scared to break up with his boyfriend, and I can't stand to know that he's still with this guy.
So you want a monogamous relationship?
Exactly.
Are you carrying on with this guy anyway?
Yeah, and I've actually been really loyal to him. I haven't been, like, dating people because of it, and I've been kind of, like, staying attached to him.
Clint's the chick.
Yeah.
What's that?
What's the
You're
plan?
The chick in the relationship.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Well, I've already told him that I already told him I was just going to discount my number and I wasn't going to talk to him anymore. I didn't want him calling me until he broke up with his boyfriend.
All right.
He says he's in college and he has to finish his high school stuff, so he says he can't move out here anyway, so he figures he wants to stay with this guy until he can move out here, and then he'll break up with him.
Oh, it's BS.
This guy's an idiot.
Yeah, it's just like somebody, like a husband that won't leave the wife and sort of strings you along. Just cut it off until this guy actually does leave. That's the only thing you can do.
I didn't even know that this guy's, even if he does leave, doesn't
he's
mean
worth, yeah.
He's not going to find somebody else.
Yes, he sounds like kind of a guy that's cheating.
Sounds like a 20-year-old guy, basically.
Yeah. He doesn't know what he wants. He says he's scared.
He doesn't want what he has, and he always has his eye out.
Well, how many monogamous gay 20-year-old guys are there out there?
Rare.
I mean, it is
rare.
Fairly rare,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah,
Clint?
which is disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you're old-fashioned.
You're healthier.
Gay.
Well, he was my first love, and I moved out there for him. I mean, and I was his first love. We both lost our virginity to each other.
How old were you?
We were together. I was 19 when I moved out there for him.
You mean the behymen was broke?
Huh?
The behymen?
What's that?
Well, it's kind of the male hymen.
Oh.
Yes?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that must be a bond. Okay. You know, that's.
Oh, my God, yes. Yeah. Listen, if a guy gave it to me in the ass, I'd have to marry him. I just would.
You should just move on, though. There are people
married?
Out there.
Yeah, there's other fish in the sea for young Clint. The guy's name is Clint.
Where does he live?
Denver. He lives in Denver. Yeah? Yeah, he could do it.
Lots of gay, young, cutie guys in Denver.
Chock full. It's actually an Indian word meaning tons of gays. A lot of people don't know that.
Nanache.
Nanache. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's a gay Indian term meaning plentiful gay. Yeah,
I guess,
it doesn't translate exactly. It means tons of dilated sphincters is what it means. Clint?
Drew.
Yeah, Clint.
Well, Drew, I guess the main thing is I just want to know, because I told him I didn't want to talk to you anymore, but I know he's going to try and, like, suck me back in, like, 2 weeks later or whatever with a bunch of crap. I mean, what should I do? Should I just keep ignoring it? Should I just ignore him and just...
Well, you've already started doing, which is disconnecting from him, not communicate with him, and give him an opportunity to reconnect with you when he has left his boyfriend. Otherwise, you're just terrorizing yourself. It's going to be painful and go on God knows how long.
And I would try not to obsess, even though it's going to be impossible. I mean, don't let him get you pregnant.
Try to find another guy.
Don't even do that. You're so young. You should think about, like, what you want to do in your life and your passions and work on that. And that's when you're going to find somebody who shares those things with you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Isn't that true, Fez?
She is right.
It
Absolutely.
Is right. Okay, let's talk about this, because everyone in this room has been dumped except for Sarah and Drew.
What? Are you kidding?
Drew's been dumped.
Yes.
Okay, but here's what you end up doing. You end up doing that thing where you go... It's like anything you try to do. If you try to quit smoking, you just keep thinking, don't smoke, don't smoke, don't smoke. You're smoking within 5 minutes, and same with drinking, same with going on a diet. And when you get dumped, if you just keep thinking, I'm not going to call this person, I'm not going to call, you can't do that. You have to get on with your life.
Right.
I know it sounds cliche,
no, that's right.
But the best medicine when you get dumped is to get a promotion at work or get involved with something at school or start exercising more or do something that has nothing to do with the person. Don't turn it into willpower. In other words, get distracted with something else that's sort of fruitful.
Yep,
yes?
Absolutely.
Like the way I worked fruit into the gay
well done.
Reference.
Well done.
Thank you. Let's talk to Bill, who's 17. Bill?
What's up, Doc?
Yeah.
I got kind of a porn
fetish.
I'm really into cartoon porn, and I want to know if that's some kind of pedophilism and if I could get in trouble for having it on my computer.
Way to go, B!
Yeah.
We don't buy it.
Well, let's answer it, though.
Really?
Eh, why not? I don't think so.
Well, what is it? Well, what? How old are the people in the, animated?
They're drawings.
I know, but how old are the drawings of 9-year-olds?
I'd say like 13 to 20.
Well, that's perfectly normal, perfectly healthy. How do you, and
could I get in trouble for having it on my computer?
You could get in trouble with God.
Qualify as kiddie porn?
I don't know for a fact. I don't think so. You're not exploiting anybody, and they might watch you. They might be worried that you were also going to download the real stuff.
Well, what? Who's drawing this stuff?
I don't know. I found this stuff on Hentai, the Japanese.
It's all Japanese stuff.
Porn site.
Yeah. Oh, I tell you, those Japs, when they ain't cutting off rhino horns and putting them up their ass, they're drawing 14-year-olds and beating off to them. Yeah, they're whacked out breed over there. But they're great people, and we can't judge. We cannot judge.
All
no
cultures.
Judging.
Good.
All cultures.
Beautiful.
Well, they're different, but we can't judge. But, Bill.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, fine. You're not hurting anybody, but I'm picturing you in a few years, and it's not a good picture. How about that? Why? Well, you're beating off to a speed racer, basically. That's what I'm thinking about.
In my experience with things like
this. You just sound like you're one of these guys going to be working behind a bulletproof glass at some gas station that I have to shout through the change slot to.
But in my experience with people like this, that into funky stuff like this, it usually because there's a problem with attachment. You really can't attach effectively to other people. Were you sort of left alone a lot when you were growing up, particularly when you were very, very young?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what causes that sort of abandonment, deprivation, that sort of thing.
I don't even know if I believe Bill. Hey, Bill.
I do. It feels right.
I wouldn't lie about porn.
Yeah, it feels right.
No, I know you wouldn't, buddy. That's it's an unspoken sacred oath that all 17-year-olds take. All right.
Speaking of porn, is Jimmy still on hold?
Oh, was Jimmy on hold? No, Jimmy wasn't on hold.
He was on hold, wasn't he?
No.
What happened to him? He was all going
to
call.
He just called up to...
he wanted to come on the air.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
He wanted to come on the air.
Oh.
Oh, come on the air. I didn't know that.
I wonder if Sarah shares your views about rape being a violent crime and not a sexual crime. You ever shared those ideas with a woman?
I don't think I have shared those ideas with a woman.
Everybody thinks it's a violent crime and not a sexual crime.
There we go.
But hold on.
I had a feeling this would raise some
But hold conflict. On. Hold on a second. first off, where's Jimmy?
Is he on hold?
Chris? I don't want to forget about him.
He's gone.
Is he on hold?
We'll get him during the break. We got about 2 minutes for a break.
I didn't know he wanted to come on the air. I thought he was talking to Sarah.
No, he wants to defend himself and his essence.
Oh, Sarah, why don't you say something?
I thought it was taken care of. These guys were all on top of it, but I think maybe I took care of it by embracing it. That's my guess. That's what I'm hoping.
He was so pleased with her response on the air.
Maybe, do you think?
He just dropped off.
I didn't see his name on the board.
I know, because they didn't set it up. Where they're screening, they set it up. She's right here.
Bad times.
Share with Sarah your philosophy about violent crimes. And
well, I was saying what you and Drew were saying, where rape is not a sexual crime. It's a violent crime, but you come at the end, you know, and it's no different than if I held up a liquor store, but then I came, you know, or arson or child abuse. It's no different than any other
robbing a bank.
Violent crime. It's like if I walked into a bank, pulled a gun, took the money, came, and then left. It's no different than that.
What
That's
about
what I'm
like
saying.
In prison when they, you know, sometimes guys...
Sarah's confused. She doesn't understand men here.
Do guys rape other guys in prison that are... The guys who are raping are actually straight guys, but it's like a power thing, right? Sometimes. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of gay.
They need to release.
Yeah, they need to release.
And so they're going to release.
So is that a sexual crime to you?
No, it's a violent...
crime with a cum chaser.
You come at the end. It's like I said, it's no different than like vehicular manslaughter. But you come. Drew loves that.
That is good.
Drew loves the cum joke. Thank you. I know. Wait till I'm going to USC to talk to the business school in a couple of weeks. I don't know why or how, but I'm going to explain to them how that works. I'm going to explain to them that rape is no different than some of the white collar crime that you guys may perform later on in your careers, where you embezzle money from your corporation and then come. And then, okay, Drew gets actually, he gets punchy when I talk about this.
It's so ludicrous.
It is ludicrous. A violent crime.
Yes.
Where you come. But let's not kid ourselves. All right. Sarah Silverman in studio tonight. School of Rock. Name of her movie.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody. Wait a minute. When did I say that?
That was you.
Wow.
That's you and
on
your
the show?
You don't like it. You showed me a picture of your vagina in this book, remember?
That's right.
I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody. When did I say that?
We'll see what happened to Jimmy. I feel bad now. That's all right. He's going to be at my house at 5 a.m. I can talk to him about it. That's great. I'll go to bed at 2:30. I'll get up at 4:45. It'll be great.
And you don't want him to sleep over because you want to have that dry masturbation?
I wouldn't mind if he slept over. I don't even really know how to sync it up, though, because I get home at 12:30. He's probably going to go home and go to bed at wait a minute, what time is it? Before then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Not by much, though.
Yeah. All right, we're all screwed. We're taking a break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, yo, it's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Sarah Silverman in studio tonight. School of Rock, the name of her movie. Like, that movie needs a plug. I think it was number one last week. I'll tell you a movie that needs a plug, Windy City Heat.
Mm.
9 o'clock, Comedy Central, a masterpiece. A masterpiece. And the man behind the masterpiece and in front of the fart he's going to let when he sees Sarah Silverman next. The great Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy?
I'm already, remember that chili that we had last weekend at the football
Yes, it was great.
I'm eating the rest.
Jimmy made a huge pot of chili last Sunday, and that's what I used to answer my wife when she was asking me questions. I let Jimmy's chili do the talking.
Does Lynette fart?
No, Lynette doesn't fart. I mean, God knows she should. I mean, it's one of her only defenses, but she doesn't seem to fart. And lately, she's been finding my Dukes in the toilet because I've been talking on the phone and not wanting to flush because I'm on the phone and then forgetting about them.
Tie a string around your finger.
Did you see the way he delivered that? It's blamed it. She's finding my Duke.
Yeah.
It's her fault. It's her fault. How dare she?
I cleverly hide them in the toilet, but she discovers them. She's like some sort of Duke sleuth. All right. Sleuth. All right. Jimmy, what's up?
Well, I mean, Sarah called me. I actually didn't call in, but we had a deal.
That you had called.
What's that?
They said you had called.
Oh, I called the other. Yeah, but I called earlier. I was trying to get on just to defend myself. But the deal was this. It's a very simple deal that I would not fart in front of Sarah as long as she kept it quiet.
I forgot. God, if I remember, Jimmy, I would have definitely not said anything. Why would I want to?
I mean, you would want to start
You forgot. I'm sorry to hear that, but the deal is the deal. And now my anus is opened up like a dragon's mouth.
That's right.
fire-breathing dragon.
And here's the problem, Sarah, and I agree with Jimmy. I know Jimmy doesn't want to fart, but rules are rules, and if he bends them for you, he's going to have to bend them for everybody.
I respect that.
And then he has to answer to his children who want to know why it's okay for Jimmy not to fart around Sarah, but it's not okay for Jimmy not to fart around his friends. You see what I'm saying? It's confusing.
You humiliated me in front of my friends, and this is you've opened the gates to hell, really.
You understand?
It's so funny. I humiliated him by saying he doesn't fart.
Yeah, that is humiliating.
You don't understand.
To think, because a code.
Yeah.
Adam is an expert at this.
I'm sorry. I know that's not going to change. I know that's not going to change anything.
I'm sure you are sorry. I mean, I feel bad for you. I almost feel bad for you. But, the fact remains that there was a deal. It was agreed upon, and it was I was violated tonight.
I know. And I feel bad because, I don't respond well to being punished.
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know. Yeah. You'll have to talk to my ass from now on.
You couldn't have just had sex with his brother or maybe vandalized his home.
Again?
You had to do that.
Who knows what's next? Who knows?
Yeah. It's possibly saying you don't belch or spit when you talk.
You may start to experience what Adam's wife's experience when she complains. He just goes, oh, honey, you're trying to impress me.
Yeah.
Make me feel good.
Well, it is definitely game on. Jimmy?
Yeah.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to save all those farts you were planning on letting at about 5:05 this morning at my house.
Yes.
I want you to save those. And I want you to unleash them when you see Sarah.
Unleash
later
the
on.
Fury, which brings us back to the most important thing, Windy City Heat.
That's right.
Yes, it's an appropriate title, I think.
Yes, for tonight's theme.
This this is airing on this Sunday on Comedy Central.
Everything has a double entendre.
Yes, yeah. And it is very powerful.
It's like that, you know, sexy innuendo talk in bad movies, but with Jimmy and I, it's all fart innuendos.
Yeah. Hey, you know what's going on? It's one of those things where somebody's hearing me on the radio, so they've decided the best move is to call my phone line while I'm on.
Yes, what is that?
Yeah, I like
that. What is that impulse?
That sounds like a Daniel move, actually.
Whoever it is should probably just hang up the telephone now.
That would be a great plan.
And it never happened, because I could see it's coming from work.
All right, how did the show go tonight, Jimmy?
It was all right. It was all right.
How was Quentin Tarantino?
He was fine. I didn't know you knew him. I wasn't aware of that.
I don't know him. I've met him a couple times.
She smelled a few of his farts back in the 80s. No big deal.
I'm so busy eating beans and stuff that I'm not really able to talk.
But again, buddy, don't peek too soon. You don't want to peek 5.5 hours from now when
Jimmy,
you're at my house.
I'm not sleeping over your house tonight. I'm not seeing you tonight, remember?
Don't worry.
It's all right.
Don't worry.
It takes a good 20.
There's a quarantine period that has to take place.
Plus, depending on which way the wind is blowing, if you have your windows open tonight, you'll probably get something.
Maybe I will fart, Jimmy.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I farted once when I was 16.
That's right.
I'm totally honest about it. That's how you can tell.
I welcome the challenge.
Yeah. No, I'm not. I'm not going to stoop to your level.
All right. Well, it's game on. And again, as I was saying to Sarah, Jimmy, that you guys have now entered, and Drew, back me up on this, very important stage. You've come to a new plateau in your relationship, and you moved forward.
You're keeping it real.
Absolutely.
The sewer stage, as it's known.
It's very, very important. All right, Jimmy, do you want to jump in on one of these calls with us?
If you want me to.
Sure.
Why don't we
do that? And, Drew, how do I do this? I don't know how to work this board.
Okay, go ahead. Can we just push a button down up here?
You might hang up. Who do you want?
Line one.
No, I don't want line one. Let's go to line six and talk to her.
All right.
Yeah. Did I just press her?
You just hung up on Jimmy.
All right.
There you go.
Sorry about that, Jimmy.
Well, now he can take that call.
All right. Why did it hang up on him?
Because Anderson was going to...
Oh, I thought Anderson did that, though. All right. Sorry, Anderson.
Did you have Jimmy back?
Sorry, Jimmy. Okay,
this is some
Jimmy's
good
back.
Radio.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's 20 not... minutes of fart and then screwing around with the phone line.
It's not good radio. It's great radio.
You know, they say farting is actually a crime, a violent crime, not a sexual crime.
It is a violent crime.
But
where
you come.
Yes.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
All right, Sarah, please, enough. Elliot?
Yeah.
Jimmy, you there?
I'm here.
Oh, good. Okay. Elliot, you're 18?
Yeah.
Your girlfriend smells awful each time you go down on her.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
I've been going out there for like 9 months.
Sarah, this could be a strategy for you against Jimmy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how you F up the flora and fauna down there, but I'm sure there are ways you could do it. Essentially sabotaging yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Antibiotics.
Work it out. Drew could give you something from the car. So, Elliot, maybe she has an infection or something.
Well, it's kind of two problems rolled into one. Because I've been going down and on her for like the last 3 months or whatever. And it smells...
That's a long time.
God-awful. God-awful. And so I've kind of wanted to, like, introduce, like, sex in the relationship. Because we've done some, like, kinky stuff in the past, you know? And because I like to introduce it in there.
Mason jar.
Yeah. All right. This is either bogus or Elliot's stupid.
Yeah.
Bogus. Which one is it, Elliot? I'd go bogus if I were you.
No, we've been doing, like...
You got me, buddy.
Yeah.
You got me. Jimmy, I'm sorry you had to be a part of that.
Jimmy's on hold.
Oh, Jimmy's on hold? What'd I do? Push Jimmy
push
on hold?
Seven. Yeah, push seven.
All right.
There you go.
Jimmy.
Hello, yeah.
I'm sorry you had to experience that.
How many of you called and pretended to be Ray Romano today at work?
Oh.
Anyone to talk to you?
Our executive, Danny Kellison, top-notch detective, got on the phone and decided that it was indeed Ray, and it couldn't have sounded less like Ray. It sounded more like Kermit the Frog than Ray.
Did you talk to him? Now, how long did it take you to realize it wasn't Ray Romano?
About 11 seconds.
When he agreed to do the show?
But I talked to, you know, when he asked me to do the show.
That's when he knew.
Yeah, it's a good strategy.
So how was Quentin Tarantino tonight? Was he nutty?
Yeah, but he was all right. He was cool.
I heard, remember they said he was drunk on the...
Yeah, he was drunk at our show, too.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
Get my card.
Hey, is it just me, or does being drunk on talk shows seem to have had a renaissance over the last few months?
Yes.
Like, back in the day, you know, Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin, all these guys would have a couple of highballs, John Wayne, whoever. They'd all seem like they have a couple of highballs out there with Jack Parr smoking away, and then seem to have gone away for a while, but now people are getting drunk again.
I think it's good. I don't know if he was drunk, but he had a couple of drinks. Yeah.
Hey,
but it's a sloppier, more immature version of what they used to do, isn't it?
So is the show.
It does seem like somehow that guys could hold their liquor better back when.
Yeah.
You know, they were older is what it is.
Maybe.
These guys were 50, 55, 60 years old when we were watching them the first
time. Yeah, you're right.
An old drunk guy, you just put in the old guy category.
Mm.
You don't really think about the drunk so much.
Yeah, you chalk everything up more to the age than to the booze. All right, and I want to talk to Janelle. So how do I do this, Drew? Anderson?
Yeah.
Anderson puts Jimmy on hold.
No,
right?
He puts up Janelle. You don't do anything.
Line two, there, Anderson.
There we go.
Janelle.
Yeah. Hello.
What's up?
Hi. Well, first of all, you guys talking about farting. My husband says he has the best recipe for that, which is deviled eggs and tapatio.
Ooh. Yeah, see, each guy has his own recipe, and
it's pretty good, let me tell you. At 3 o'clock in the morning, he tries to hotbox me under the covers.
Oh. Mine is cauliflower and clams.
Yeah.
Ooh, ew.
The raw clams Jimmy likes.
It really depends on what your bacterial flora...
thank you.
Is it tapatio? That's the Italian...
It's like a pasta.
Mexican guy on it, but hot sauce stuff.
Oh, man, I'm thinking of tavatillo.
Taco tio.
Here's the thing. You know, something like that, you can provide the power with a vegetable of some kind, and then the smell with a rotting meat or seafood.
That's right. It's clearly underlined in that. In Jimmy's book,
in
chapter 14. Yeah, it's a
verse 10.
Manual.
How to smell the town, my new book.
Yeah, you need essentially a resin and a catalyst, you know what I mean? And I find, for me, the fiber will be the resin, but the catalyst will be some sort of dried fruit or dairy that actually gets things percolating.
I'm with you on that. Do you remember when I farted up the beach?
Yeah. Hey, let me tell you something about Jimmy, and this isn't just bragging, but Jimmy's done a few things. Jimmy has farted up a bus, and a large bus, to the point, and again, not a handicap van, but a large bus. He's farted up a large bus to the point where the driver took out spray and sprayed everybody. He, on my bachelor party, on my way to the bachelor party, in a Southwest flight that we took... took north, he farted up a plane. He farted up a 140-seat plane where the stewardess went and took the spray can out and sprayed. That's two.
No, it was her own perfume she was spraying around the cabin.
That's right. And three, farted up the beach with at least a 17 to 20 knot wind coming offshore. It actually took out a group of people in an open area of sand with a strong wind coming offshore. That's not easy to do. I want you all to think about that for a minute. And the next time you proclaim yourself a great ass man, I want you to stop and think about Jimmy's accomplishments. Just for a second.
Thank you.
Jimmy's the happiest man in the world right now.
I really am.
And the thing about the plane, the windows were open. Absolutely. Even though we were at altitude, the stewardess actually unbolted. She took a serving cart and threw it through one of the windows, and another one actually pulled the emergency door.
All true.
We lost pressure in the cabin, and we had to descend to 5,000 feet, but everyone still agrees it was worth it.
Who farted in the coffee can? You?
Oh,
that was a master.
That is genius.
That Yeah, I don't have kids. I imagine when I do, they'll be my second proudest moment after the coffee can fart. But that was the greatest moment. That was the greatest 7 to 14 seconds of my life. This story bears repeating. I'm in love with this story. Tell the story.
We're over, I think we're playing poker or something over at Adam's house.
Yes.
And Adam and I are at least a little bit gay, and every once in a while we wind up in the kitchen cooking or doing something, and Adam had a coffee can. He's like, oh, Jimmy, smell these coffee beans. There's nothing better than the smell of coffee beans. And so I open the top of this coffee can, and I take as deep a breath as I possibly can to really inhale the fragrance of the coffee. And as it's halfway down my lungs when I realize that Adam has farted into the can and sealed the top. So I'm breathing in pure gas with my nose.
Yes. Willfully.
Is, you know, you can fart around people. You can up on them and fart. Mm-hmm. You can fart in the car when they're there. But you can't force them to inhale. You
not deeply that way. No.
You can't
they gingerly inhale. But this was a willful inhale.
It settled and on my tongue.
It was awesome, too, because it was one of those canisters that had the whole beans in it, and there was like six of them at the bottom. And if you ever smell coffee, you immediately bury your face into the can. Like when someone says, smell this chowder, you don't bury your face into it. You sort of you do it at a distance. But this Jimmy just buried his face and sucked it up. And I'll tell you the moment of Nirvana for me was that one moment. There's that moment. It's like when you take a sip out of something that you think is milk, but it's orange juice. There's that 1 second of processing. You see it in the person's face. It's like, that's not coffee. What is it? There's just a split second of what, and then into the agony.
It's the same reaction you see in a movie or something where someone gets shot by like someone they love.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Like, they look at their wound and they look up at the person like, what has happened?
And then they fall to the floor just like Jimmy did.
Janelle, is there anything else?
My question. I don't get to listen to you guys that much because I'm normally at work. But when I do listen to you, Adam, I agree with so much that you say. And then tonight I heard you say that you're an atheist, which... lately, my husband considers himself a Christian, and I am definitely considers.
I'm no longer an atheist after what happened with Jimmy in the coffee can. I now believe
in a higher power.
That wasn't my ass farting into that can. That I had to have some help from somebody that was just higher than me. That what I did was so special that I can't take full credit for it.
It was a gift.
Janelle, what's your question?
Question is, he's starting to want to go to church. He never really did much before, and he's asking me to go along. And I don't want to stop him. I don't want to have, you know, I don't want to tell him what to believe in.
Right. The question is, should you have to go with him?
Why don't you go to church with him and use that as your time to sort of quietly focus on whatever it is you want to focus on, and maybe you don't have to focus on Jesus. But you can sit there and be with your husband and be in a sort of quiet setting.
And if it's going to be a community he's going to attach himself to, probably ought to get some relationships with some of those people to kind of be part of his life.
Thing about going to church is they have candles there which can absorb his gas.
Yeah, that's good. But here's the tip that Jimmy taught me, by the way, which is, you know, when you light a match, don't leave it lit. Immediately blow it out, and then the smoke that comes off it will kill the gas.
Thanks.
That's chapter 26, I believe, of the gas manual.
26 of how the...
I think that's John 22:31.
Speaking of ass, I think Sarah's had an ass full of this conversation.
Well, an ass full of this conversation. I'm starting... You know what is funny? It's like, I thought it was funny, and I had a good attitude about it, and I wanted to embrace it, but now I'm starting to get depressed.
Yeah.
I really am. I'm like, my heart is sinking, and I feel like a little...
So it's like anything else when women realize men are deadly serious about stuff they're joking about. It's like... Oh, no.
Imagine how I felt. Imagine the shock and dismay as I was doing as I do each night listening to the show. And this bombshell was...
you got a lot of nerve with the stuff and the people and the stuff that you talk about on the radio. And then I say you don't fart around me. and you now you're gonna fart around
we're
me.
We're taking a break.
All right, Jimmy. It was an attack. It was an attack, pure and simple. I felt it when Sarah said it. I had too much couth to say anything about it. Instead, I wanted to talk about number two. It was an attack, and God bless you for calling, Jimmy. We straightened a lot
of
things out.
It's not an act of love.
All right, Jimmy.
I consider driving over into the canyon.
You could have killed him. Do you understand that? And then we would have had to just freeze his ass like Disney's head.
All right, some idiot's calling me on call waiting.
All right. I'll see you at about 5 a.m.
Thanks.
God bless. Bye. We'll take a little break. Sarah Silverman is here. And dead woman walking, they call it. We'll be back after this. Hey, everybody. Sarah Silverman. That's that little angel you heard in the background. She's on a show tonight, School of Rock. That is the name of her movie. Number one at the box office last weekend. Thank you very much. And
When is Windy City Heat on? I don't mean to interrupt.
Windy City Heat. Glad you brought that up. That's our movie. That's on Comedy Central. It's made for Comedy Central. 9 o'clock Sunday night. Funny. The only movie, well, actually the only piece of work my dad has ever really thoroughly enjoyed.
Or commented on.
Commented on. Yeah, usually just sort of grunts.
Never
he,
anything.
Absolutely enjoyed and loved Windy City Heat. Laughed his ass off, as I did.
There is nothing like it.
Nothing like
and
it.
And you are one of my favorite parts in it.
Oh,
definitely.
I have a very, very small role in it and really don't deserve any of the credit for it. That falls in Jimmy and Bobcat's lap and a bunch of other people, too. Don Barris, Tony Barbieri, and all these people. But you watch this movie, I guarantee it's like nothing you've ever seen before, and you will laugh your ass off. All right, let's talk to Rachel, who's 18. Rachel?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, I have a history of sexual abuse in my family, of me, myself, being sexually abused, and also my father was my mother's stepdad.
Whoa.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Stepfather. Wow. Right. So,
Your father
was his mother's stepfather. Her father was her mother's stepfather.
It's very Chinatown-y.
Yeah, and so you were sexually abused by who?
By both my father and my brother.
Your real father.
Real father.
Your biological father.
Who is your mother's stepfather?
Right.
And and your biological brother as well?
Yes.
Bad times.
Yeah, and like my dad.
And how old were you? How long did this go on?
Well, my brother, I have specific memories of being about 8 in the 3rd grade or something.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, there's just this entire span of time. Like, he used to beat up my brother really bad, and then I have these memories of just laying in bed with him, rubbing my temples and like,
How much older is your brother than you?
He's 5 years older.
Oh, that's horrible. All right. Is your dad dead or in jail or something?
I wish he was.
No. What's
no, he?
He's a publicist?
I don't see him anymore.
Good.
But
it'd be nice if there was a bullet in his head.
Right, exactly. You know, he almost died one time. And oh.
What happened?
He had cancer of the pancreas. Mm. Yeah. And he had a 3% chance of living and... Lucky me, my daddy stayed alive.
Mm. Yeah, but John Ritter, pow. That's right. God's got a plan.
Yeah, I don't talk to him anymore.
That's what we call the law of inverse worth.
Cannot question it. Mm. All right, so you sound like you're relatively well put together considering what you've been through in your life.
Can't be.
I mean, yeah.
Well, relatively.
You must have abusive boyfriends. You must have boyfriends that... take advantage of you and that sort of thing, or you must sort of be drawn to guys that are abusive.
Exactly. And especially my the guy that I lost my virginity to, he like 2 weeks after he said, oh well, I'm gonna get back with my ex-girlfriend. That really crushed me. And then throughout the next year he was like, late night booty calls would call me and just,
yeah,
like, oh, Oh, and of course, you know, I would fall for it because he was like, you can't
say no either because you're so used to being victimized.
But Rachel, listen.
It gets better.
No, listen. We don't have enough time. I know it's a cluster F and that everything you touch turns to S. Yes. When it comes to a relationship, I know that. So you're not going to fix it by having a good relationship because it's a mathematical impossibility for you to have a good relationship at your age, seeing what you've been through. What you have to do is just get off the track. I mean, you got to pull out of the game, get a whole bunch of therapy, read a bunch of books, go on a bunch of walks, find yourself and do all that and then get back into the game.
Well, see, I went to a rehab for girls and everything. And
yeah, you do sound like you've had some treatment.
Yes.
But okay.
I still find myself just...
I know, but at age 18 and what you've been through, and by the... I don't want to, you know, you're doing great for someone who's seen what you've seen and been through what you've been through, but this is going to take a little while, and the whole part... Everything could get cured, but the relationship part will still be still be screwed up. That'll be the last thing that gets cured.
Right.
Okay.
All your other symptoms will be better, but this one will take quite
some time. So, Rachel, don't worry about it. Just give yourself a little time. Get some treatment. Stick with all that stuff.
Really quick other question. So this
we got to go. We can't.
No.
What? We're over. We're past due. Here.
Yeah. Sorry, baby doll.
We can call you back tomorrow night if you want.
No, we can't.
Yeah, we can. Oh, Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Pardon?
Okay.
Okay.
Take her number, guys, and call her back Sunday night.
All right. Rachel, take care.
All right. Thank you.
We'll call you back Sunday.
Okay.
We'll send you out a windbreaker.
All right.
We're going to, when I say windbreaker, I mean Jimmy. Jimmy's going to go out there, break wind on you, and come back. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. The show, everybody. Sarah Silverman, School of Rock, Adam Carolla, Jimmy Kimmel.
Sarah and Jimmy's first fight right here at Live.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was rough. I want to tell everyone to watch Windy City Heat this Sunday on Comedy Central, 9 o'clock. Got windy and heat right in the same tile there. So Sarah can expect to live some of that windy heat when she sees Jimmy next. I want to thank Chris for doing a great job as engineer. Engineer Anderson for doing a great job. Shut up, Anderson. Just shut up and do the buttons, would you, please? That's me yelling at Anderson over there. Notice how I said please. I want to thank Tara. Don't call me Tara, goddammit. I want to thank Junior. I know we're short on time. Junior. Producer Lauren for doing a great job. And, of course, regular producer.
Brian's not there.
Oh, Anne for doing a great job. Yeah. And booking great guests like Sarah Silverman and Marilyn Manson and Ben Stein and many more to
Kelly
come.
Osborne.
And Kelly Osborne next week. And I want to thank Brian for doing a great job on the phones. Until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew.
Yay! Fan.
Mahalo.
Every time I look at my vagina, I want to punch somebody.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.